All right, so we're diving into something today that might surprise you. It's the connection between rural healthcare and, well, everyone's wallet, even if you're a city dweller.
That's right, yeah. We're going deep into how supporting healthcare in these like really remote areas can actually lead to a healthier system for everyone and even potentially lower costs across the board.
It's pretty counterintuitive, I think.
It is, it is. It's fascinating how interconnected our healthcare system truly is, you know? We often think of rural healthcare as this like isolated thing, but the reality is its impact really ripples outwards. When rural communities can't get good quality care, it strains resources and it can drive up costs for everyone.
So today, to help unpack all this, we've got this stack of research and reports here, all about the Universal Service Fund.
Right.
Specifically, we're looking at the Rural Healthcare Program, or RHC.
Mm.
I know USF might sound like, another boring government acronym,
Sure.
but it's actually pretty interesting when you get into it.
Yeah.
It's basically this program that was set up to make sure that everyone, everywhere, has access to telecommunication services.
Right.
So think, phone lines, and of course, today, the internet.
Exactly. And, within the RHC program itself, there are actually two key parts. You've got the Telecommunications Fund. Now, that primarily focuses on supporting voice services, making sure people can make phone calls. And then there's the Rural Healthcare Connect Fund. And this one really zeroes in on internet connectivity. And that's where, a lot of the action is these days, because as I'm sure you know, modern healthcare is like incredibly reliant on having a strong online infrastructure.
We're going to be focusing mostly on that internet piece because that's where it gets really interesting
Yeah.
and tricky, especially when we talk about rural areas.
Oh,
We're
absolutely.
not talking about checking emails or browsing Facebook here.
No.
We're talking about, transmitting huge medical image files, conducting those real-time consultations, even using AI for diagnostics these days. It's a whole other level of need.
Absolutely. And that's why we need to talk about what are called medical grade networks. And that might not be a familiar term for everyone listening.
Yeah, I haven't heard that before.
These networks are specifically designed to like meet the really, really strict, rigorous demands of healthcare data.
Interesting. So what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, we're talking about dedicated symmetrical connections with guaranteed high bandwidth, really ensuring that the data is flowing smoothly and reliably constantly
Without any hiccups.
without any hiccups. Yeah.
So not your average internet connection, I'm guessing.
No, not at all. I mean, think of it this way. Healthcare data, it needs a super highway, not a back road.
I like that analogy.
We got to be able to send and receive, these large files, and we got to do it quickly and reliably and consistently.
No interruptions.
No interruptions, right. And this is especially critical for things like remote patient monitoring and real-time video consultations, where any lag or disruption could be a really serious issue.
And that makes me think of things like Starlink that have been in the news.
Yeah.
They're bringing internet to all these remote areas, but I'm guessing that's probably not quite up to that medical grade standard that you were talking about.
Yeah, you're right. Starlink, it's really promising and it's a great solution for general internet access in underserved areas, but it does have some limitations, especially when we're talking about like primary healthcare needs. It operates on a what's called a best effort basis. So that means the speed and the quality can like fluctuate.
So not as reliable.
Right, not as reliable. Plus, it's asymmetric, meaning that the upload speeds are slower. And that can be a major bottleneck for healthcare. Like, think about sending those large files. That's a big deal.
So maybe good as a backup, but not as the main event.
Exactly. Plus, the cost and the plans can change month to month with Starlink.
Oh, really?
So that makes it harder for healthcare providers to, really rely on it and budget for it. They need that stable connection. Yeah, they need to know that they can count on that connection for sure.
And thinking about all of that, all those limitations, it really makes you wonder how many potential breakthroughs in rural healthcare are we missing out on
Right.
just because that reliable connection isn't there.
It's a critical question, and it ties directly into, the whole cost-saving aspect that we were talking about earlier. I know, now it might sound kind of counterintuitive, but investing in rural healthcare, and particularly this broadband infrastructure, can actually save everyone money in the long run.
I was surprised by that too when I was looking at the research. I mean, I get that, you know, telehealth can cut down on, you know, patients having to travel for appointments.
Right.
But how does that translate to, like, you know, savings for the entire system?
Yeah.
One of the reports actually mentioned that telehealth can save up to $6 for every dollar spent. How is that even possible?
It's wild, right? Yeah. Think of it like a ripple effect, okay? Mm-hmm. So when people in these rural areas, they have access to timely care. You know, they can get care when they need it conveniently through telehealth. Mm-hmm. They're way more likely to catch health issues early.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that can prevent small problems from becoming, you know, big costly emergencies.
Right. So we're talking about like preventative care.
Absolutely. Preventative care and early intervention.
Yeah.
It's huge. And that's honestly, that's just the beginning.
Wow.
I mean, telehealth can also help people stick to their medication schedules.
Wow.
That's huge.
Right.
It can reduce the need for, you know, those expensive specialist visits. And it really empowers patients to take charge of their own health.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All these factors, they contribute to a more efficient and cost-effective healthcare system for everyone.
So it's not just, we're not just slapping a Band-Aid on the problem here.
Yeah.
This is like a whole shift in how we think about and deliver healthcare.
Exactly. And it's really important to acknowledge, you know, while telehealth has this immense potential,
yeah,
it's not like a perfect solution, you know? It's not a magic bullet.
Right.
There are costs, you know, upfront costs for implementing the technology.
Sure.
And not all healthcare services can be done remotely.
Of course, yeah.
But when it's implemented strategically, telehealth can really be a game changer for rural healthcare and honestly, healthcare in general.
Okay, so we've established that, you know, reliable broadband it's absolutely crucial for good rural healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And it can actually save, you know, all of us money in the long run.
Yeah, right.
So let's talk about the Universal Service Fund, the USF.
Yes.
A lot of the research we've been looking at paints it as a vital tool.
Absolutely.
But also one that needs some, you know, modernization.
A little TLC, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The USF has done a lot of good. It's really helped bridge the digital divide.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the telecommunications landscape has changed so much since it first started. We need to, you know, adapt to make sure it's still effective.
It still makes sense.
Exactly.
Especially for supporting rural healthcare in the 21st century, right?
Absolutely.
So what actually needs to change when we talk about modernizing it? What needs to happen?
So one key area is the contribution base.
Okay.
So right now the USF it's mainly funded through fees on traditional telephone services.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the way we communicate, it's evolving, right? It's changing.
Right.
Makes a lot more sense to broaden that contribution base, include other players in the internet ecosystem,
you know,
like broadband providers.
So spreading that responsibility out a little more.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about having a sustainable funding model, you know, one that reflects how people actually use the internet today.
Makes sense.
Another crucial area is streamlining, you know, all those administrative processes.
Okay.
The USAC, that's the Universal Service Administrative Company, they manage the USF, and they can get bogged down in bureaucracy sometimes.
Oh, the classic, you know, government red tape.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just about efficiency, though.
Right.
It's about getting those funds to the communities that need them.
Quickly.
Quickly, yeah. We need clear timelines, you know, for decisions and audits.
Uh-huh.
And just a more transparent process in general.
Yeah. It sounds like common sense when you lay it out like that.
It is. It is. And these reforms, it's not just about, you know, making the USF more efficient.
Yeah.
It's about making sure it has the biggest impact on rural healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, by simplifying things and making sure that funding gets out there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We can really empower those rural healthcare providers to adopt these technologies and deliver great care to their communities.
You know, it's interesting. We've been focusing so much on, you know, the internet side of things.
Yeah.
And I almost forgot to mention, like, the human impact.
Oh, yeah.
These are real people that we're talking about. Real families.
Absolutely.
That are, you know, directly affected by whether or not they can get good healthcare.
And that's where storytelling is so powerful. You know,
right.
We can talk about numbers and policy all day, but it's those personal stories that really bring this to life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one thing that really stuck with me in the research was how this plays out with maternity and paternity care in rural areas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a critical time for families.
It is.
And if they don't have access to, you know, specialized care, it can have consequences for years.
Absolutely.
You know, think about a new mom in a really remote area.
Yeah.
And she can have virtual checkups with her doctor, you know, or get guidance on breastfeeding or postpartum care all through telehealth.
Yeah.
It can make such a difference, especially in those early weeks, you know, having that reassurance,
yes,
that support, knowing that that help is there.
Right, right. It's not just about convenience either.
Right.
It's about peace of mind. And it's about potentially, you know, providing that life-changing support during a really vulnerable time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just limited to, you know, the postpartum period either.
Right.
Telehealth can help with ongoing pediatric care too, you know.
Absolutely.
Making sure that kids in rural areas have access to specialists and developmental screenings, mm-hmm, just like kids in cities do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it really highlights how, you know, all of this is connected. It's not just about rural areas, you know, supporting families out there. It actually helps everybody.
It does. It really does. And, you know, that brings us back to that point we made earlier, that rural healthcare isn't just a rural issue. When folks in those areas can't access quality care, it can have these ripple effects, you know, impacting costs and resources for the whole system.
Right, like a chain reaction. So let's say someone's listening to this and they live in a big city.
Yeah.
Why should they care about rural healthcare?
That's a great question.
What's the takeaway for them?
Think about it like this. When people in rural communities can't get the care they need, it often means diagnoses and treatment get delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times they end up having to seek care in more expensive settings like the ER.
Right.
And that drives up costs for everyone.
So it's not just about empathy then. It's about, like, you know, we all have a stake in this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're all in this together. And beyond the economics of it all, there's a fundamental issue of fairness.
Right.
You know, everyone deserves access to good health care no matter where they live.
Absolutely. So we've talked about, you know, the challenges. We've talked about solutions and policy recommendations. It really seems like the Universal Service Fund, especially the Rural Healthcare Connect Fund, has a huge role to play in bridging the digital divide.
Yeah, for sure. It has been a lifeline for a lot of rural communities, but like we were saying, it needs to be modernized.
Mm.
We got to keep pace with how healthcare is changing.
Right.
Broaden the contribution base, streamline those administrative processes, and make sure that funding decisions are happening quickly and transparently.
Yeah, making those dollars work smarter.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive today, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
I'd say reliable, affordable broadband, it's not a luxury anymore. It's essential infrastructure, especially for healthcare. And the USF, yeah, it needs some updates, but it's a critical tool for making sure that everyone, regardless of where they live, has access to good care.
It's an investment in a healthier system for everyone.
Exactly.
Well, this has been really eye-opening.
It's a fascinating topic for sure.
It is. It is. And thanks for joining us today to break it all down.
It's been my pleasure.
I think we all learned a lot about rural healthcare and broadband connectivity. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.